Tonight's message is Come and See the Miracle Worker. Friends, Jesus is the miracle worker, and He always will be. And maybe in your life tonight, you've been diagnosed with a terminal illness. Maybe the doctors have said that there's nothing that we can do to reverse the cancer or this disease in your life. Or maybe in the life of a loved one, maybe the life of a friend, they've received a terminal diagnosis, and the doctors and medicine are saying that there's nothing we can do to turn this situation around. And so maybe this diagnosis tonight has put you in a cave of depression. And it seems like, humanly speaking, you just cannot get out of this cave of depression. And so tonight you might be thinking, God, I need a miracle from you. You see, our God, the creator of heaven and earth, performed miracles in the old covenant, and Jesus, God the Son, still performs miracles today because He is the exact representation of God's being. Hebrews 1:3. See, God the Father works His miracle through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is and always will be the miracle worker. Is that good news here tonight?
Yes.
The writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His nature, He never changes. His love is constant. His grace is unchanging, and His miracle working power is always the same. You know, when He walked the streets of Israel 2,000 years ago, you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can see that Jesus performed miracle after miracle after miracle, brought sight to the blind. He raised the dead up. He delivered people from demon possession. He did miracle after miracle after miracle in the Gospels. He was the miracle worker, but He still does miracles today, and He can do a miracle in your life, and He will do miracles for the generations to come. His miracle working power is unchanging. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil because God was with Him. This is what Peter preached to the house of Cornelius in Acts 10:38. There were people that were dealt bad hands in life, and in place of that bad thing, Jesus gave them something good. He gave them a miracle. And maybe tonight you're feeling like, man, I've been dealt a bad hand in my life. I've got this disease in my body. I've got this sickness in my body. I feel as good as dead. The doctors are saying it cannot be reversed. It cannot be reversed in the life of my loved one. My loved one is depressed. I need a miracle tonight. God wants to give you something good in place of the bad that was given you in this life. He is the miracle worker. God, Jesus is the miracle worker. Remember, I said just a few moments ago, He performed miracles after miracle after miracle in the New Testament, in the Gospels, when He walked Israel. He still performs miracles, and He will continue in the generations to come to perform miracles. What is a miracle? I define a miracle as the supernatural power of God taking a humanly and naturally speaking impossible situation and making it possible again. Let me say it again. I define a miracle as the supernatural power of God taking a humanly and naturally speaking impossible situation and making it possible again. We serve a God who takes seemingly impossible situations and makes them possible. Nothing is impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. A miracle is the supernatural power of God reversing what people say is an irreversible situation according to natural law. You know, the doctors may be saying to you or to a loved one, there's nothing we can do in the natural, but God says, I can. Amen. The doctors may be saying that, you know, it's impossible that this thing turns around, but God says, with me all things are possible. He specializes in making seemingly impossible situations possible again. We serve the miracle worker. My question to you tonight is this: does Jesus Christ, the miracle worker, rule and reign upon the throne of your heart? Because you know, God is not obligated to bless anybody who's living in rebellion towards Him, towards His Son, Jesus Christ. Is Jesus ruling and reigning upon the throne of your heart? Are you following Him on a consistent basis? Is He your Lord, the one in full charge of every part of your life? He's the miracle worker. He can do a miracle in your life. Medicine may say it's impossible. Science may say it's impossible. The doctors may be saying it's impossible. Maybe the counselors are saying it's impossible for you to come out of your depression, but God says, with me, all things are possible. Maybe the naysayers are saying it can't be done, but God is saying, I can do it. Amen?
Amen.
We'll talk about some of the miracles Jesus performed when He walked this earth 2,000 years ago. Matthew chapter 9, if you got your Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you tonight. The supernatural power of God going into effect into these people's lives. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed Him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When He had gone indoors, the blind men came to Him and He asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then He touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you." Verse 30, and their sight was restored. And their sight was restored. These two men were blind. Naturally speaking, humanly speaking, according to what doctors would say, the blindness was irreversible. But supernaturally, Jesus reversed it and He restored their sight. Don't listen to the people, to the friends, to the family members, the naysayers, the media, the pessimists that are saying that it cannot be done in your life. God can do it. Maybe the need you're facing tonight is provision of some financial need. And humanly speaking, it's impossible for that to be reversed in your life. But God says He can do it for you. All things are possible for them, for those who believe. Amen? Luke chapter 8. Couple more instances here. Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56. There's two instances here we're going to talk about tonight. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed Him, for they were all expecting Him. Luke 8, verse 40. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with Him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. And now it transitions over to another situation. As Jesus was on His way, the crowds almost crushed Him. Verse 43, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. No one could heal her. She came up behind Him and touched the edge of His cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me." Verse 46, "I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at His feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched Him and how she had been instantly healed. Verse 48. Then He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." What does it say in this passage that we just read in Luke chapter 8, verse 43? It says, no one could heal her. Medically speaking, her disease was irreversible, but not for Jesus. He performed a miracle for her. The supernatural power of God brought healing when men could not. When medicine could not bring healing in this situation, Jesus did it. You got to realize that the woman was full of faith. Full of faith. Then we go back to the Jairus account. Verse 49, while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead. He said, don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. So Jesus was mildly affirming that the body was dead, but the spirit lived and would soon be joined back up to the body because he was about to raise her back to life. Verse 53, the naysayers, they laughed at him knowing that that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, and he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Amazing, isn't it? It says they laughed at him in verse 53 of Luke chapter 8. They laughed at him, the naysayers. And friends, they may be laughing at you tonight, the naysayers, the pessimists. Those people in your life that are saying, man, your situation is so dire, it's so bad, it's irreversible. There's nothing that can be done. Don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to the people that are trying to mock you and to the people that are laughing at you. Listen to God in His Word. Start reading of the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and read it again, and read it again, and read about the life and the ministry and the teachings of the kingdom of God of Jesus, and your faith will be built up on the inside. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What are you reading on a consistent basis? Is it that bad news on the internet? Is it bad news in the newspaper? What are you reading on a consistent basis? Are you reading thrillers? Let me tell you, the books that you read will influence the way that you think. Why not read the greatest book in the world, the Word of God, and let it wash your mind, influence your mind and your spirit, and build up your faith on the inside that God can do a miracle in your life. Isn't that good? Got to read the Word of God. You can't get into the Word of God on just a once in a while basis. Every blue moon or just once in a while. You know, some people say, well, I get into the Word of God at Easter. Or I get into the Word of God at Christmas time. Two times a year is not enough. You got to be into the Word of God on a consistent basis. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let me say it again. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can read those Gospels in a month. Or maybe in 2 or 3 weeks if you've got the time. And then read it again. And read it again. And read it again. And let it just build you up on the inside. In Jesus' name. That the Jesus who did it 2,000 years ago for the suffering, for the hurting, for the physically ill, is the Jesus that can do it in 2022 for you. Amen? Amen. Got to get into God's Word. Naturally speaking, her death was irreversible, but not for Jesus. He did a miracle. The supernatural power of God raised her to life. When naturally speaking, humanly speaking, it was not possible. When it was impossible to do. But Jesus can do it. He raises the dead back to life. And maybe there's a situation in your life tonight that feels like it's as good as dead. A situation in your life that is as good as dead. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe somebody you love has deserted you, has left you, has divorced you, has abandoned you. And you feel that relationship is as good as dead. And you're thinking, man, humanly speaking, there's no way that I could be reconciled to that person. But God says, I can do it. God speaking, it can be done. for nothing is impossible with God. Maybe other people are telling you, no, that person's not going to come back. It can't be done. And God is saying, I can do it. You got to build up your faith, friends. You got to get into the Word of God. But you know, in these accounts that we just read of the two blind men that were healed, the woman who bled for 12 years who was healed, Jairus' daughter who was raised back to life, in these accounts, what did these people have? What did they have? What did it take on the part of these people to receive their miracles? It took faith. So what is faith? Faith is a confident knowing that you know deep down on the inside that the God who promised a miracle to you from His Word, to you personally, is the God that can do it. It's a knowing that you know deep down on the inside that you can rely on God. He is reliable. He is not a man that he should lie. God is reliable and will be true to His Word. The two blind men. Remember when Jesus asked them, what did He say? He said, do you believe that I'm able to do this for you? And how did they respond? In verse 28 of Matthew chapter 9. Yes, Lord. It was a confident yes of faith. And He said, He touched their eyes and said, according to your faith will it be done to you. And their sight was restored. The woman who bled for 12 years, where doctors could not turn that disease around, she had faith, right? Let's jump back to Luke chapter 8. She had faith, right? She said, if I could only touch the hem of His garment, I will be healed. Touched me. I know the power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at His feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched Him and how she had been instantly healed. Then He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. In faith, she stretched out her hand and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was healed. Amen? It takes faith, friends. I'm going to read you an illustration here from the Speaker's Quote book. And it's just real short, but I figured it would apply for tonight's message. Two little girls were counting their pennies. One said, I have 5 pennies. The other said, I have 10. No, said the first little girl, you have just 5 cents, the same as I have. But the second child replied, my father said that when he came home tonight, he would give me 5 cents. And so I have 10 cents. The child's faith gave her proof of that which she did not yet see, and she counted it because it had been promised by her father. What has God promised you in His Word? What has God promised you personally concerning that miracle you need in your life? Hang on to that promise. Don't let it go. Keep on keeping on in your faith in God, and eventually God can bring it to pass. It says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If it's impossible to please God without faith, to me that says that with faith it is possible to please God. Your faith honors God. Has God given you a promise? You can hang on to that promise. God is faithful to His Word. Don't tell God how big your mountain is. Tell your mountain how big your God is. Is it a mountain of illness? A mountain of financial debt? A mountain of broken relationships? Don't tell God how big that mountain is. Tell your mountain how big your God is. He's the God who specializes in making impossible situations possible again. And so tonight, don't get down on yourself if you've been believing God, having faith in God, and haven't seen the miracle yet. You've got to be persistent and perseverant in your faith. How old was Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, when God promised him the promised son to make him into a great nation? When God promised Abraham to make him into a great nation in Genesis chapter 12, how old was Abraham? was 75. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. How old was Abraham when Isaac, the promised son, was born? Genesis 21, 5. How old was he? He was 100. 100 minus 75 is what?
25.
It's 25. Abraham, in faith, waited 25 years. Had faith for 25 years. And maybe you've been waiting a month. Or maybe you've been waiting a year, maybe 5 years, a little more than 5 years. Keep on keeping on believing God. Be perseverant and persistent in your faith. Don't give up. Abraham waited 25 years. 25 years. He's a human being just like us. God is no respecter of persons. Just keep holding on and believing God. Romans chapter 4. I love the way Paul writes this. He says this. In Romans chapter 4. If I can find it here. Romans chapter 4. Talking about Abraham. Romans 4 verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith. Verse 19 of Romans 4. Say it again. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet, verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Are you fully persuaded that God has got the power to do what he has promised he would do in your life? And when you get weak on the inside, say, God, I'm weak on the inside in my faith. Help my unbelief. Cry out to God. Pray to God and communicate with God. Just say, God, my faith is getting weak. And I've been waiting for so long. I've been having faith for so long. And God will give you supernatural divine strength by the Holy Spirit deep down on the inside to keep on persevering in your faith. He was fully persuaded. Abraham was fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Are you fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised you he would do, even if it's been a while? Are you fully persuaded? Are you unwavering in your faith like Abraham was? Don't get down on yourself if you've been believing and haven't seen the miracle yet, because God wants faith. He wants you to persevere. And you know, ultimately, here's the good news. Ultimately, the miracle will come for you. If not here, in the here and now, for sure up there in heaven. There is no more sorrow. There is no more pain. There is wholeness forevermore. There is God and Jesus there in heaven forever and ever and ever. There is no more lack. There is no more disease in heaven. There is just joy and peace with the Father and the Son for billions and billions of years into eternity without end. Is that good news here tonight? God can do the miracle for you on this earth, but if it doesn't happen here, for sure it will happen there. Could you say amen?
Amen?
One last thing I want to share with you tonight. The miracle is bigger than just for yourself. The miracle is bigger than just for you. The miracle that God does in your life is bigger than just for you. It's going to bless you when he reverses that terminal diagnosis. That will bless you. When he pulls you out of the cave of depression, that will bless you. When he reconciles a humanly speaking, irreconcilable relationship, it will bless you. But guess what? The miracle is also meant to bless people in your spheres of influence. John chapter 2, one final verse. John chapter 2, verse 23. And this is what it says. John 2:23. Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. The miracle that God does for you is to bless you personally, but guess what? It's also to point people to faith in Jesus Christ so that they would believe in his name, that they would believe he is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God. Is that making sense here tonight? You know, that person in your sphere of influence will see the miracle and say, man, I thought it was irreversible. Who did this for you? And you can tell them, Jesus did it for me. He turned it around for me. He gave me something good. He gave me a miracle in place of the bad hand that was dealt me. Jesus did it for me. And then they might say, I want to know more about Jesus. I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want a relationship with this Jesus that did that miracle in your life. So the miracle is to bless you, but it's also to bless those around you, to point those people in your spheres to faith in Jesus Christ, to show them that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God. Amen. To bring glory to God. Amen. All right. So that miracle could be an evangelistic tool that you use in your life to lead and direct people to Jesus Christ. And as you were listening tonight, you might have thought, well, you know what? I've never put my faith in Jesus, and tonight I want to do so for the first time. If you've never put your faith in Jesus, but tonight for the first time you want to put your faith in him, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. If you've never put your faith in Jesus, don't be afraid. Remember, the next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to step into eternity in the next hour, do you know beyond the shadow of every doubt that you'd be with Jesus? Do you know? Sir, are you wanting to accept Jesus or are you wanting to recommit? Or are you just raising your hand? Okay, all right. Is there any... Gotcha. Okay, so if there's anybody in the room tonight who has never put their faith in Jesus, but you want to do so tonight, raise your hands. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. You've never accepted Jesus, sir, but you want to do it for the first time? Or you want to recommit your life? All right, we'll get to that in a second. Anybody else here tonight for the first time wanting to accept Jesus? All right. Maybe there's some of you out there that accepted Jesus at one point, but maybe you got upset with God, you got upset with somebody, and you've slipped away from Jesus. You've slipped away from God. But tonight you want to re-give your life to Jesus. If that's you, raise your hands. I see that hand. I saw that hand back there, sir. Stand up. The guy that raised your hand. Stand up. Stand up. If you put your hands up, stand up. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Anybody else want to follow their lead tonight? If God is whispering to you by his Holy Spirit telling you, you have to make this choice, then do it. There's not a moment to waste, because remember, the next 30 minutes are not guaranteed you. The next 5 minutes are not guaranteed you. If you were to step into eternity tonight, do you know that you know that you would be with Jesus in heaven? You got to know. Anybody else want to follow their lead? Anybody else? Sir, stand up. Don't be afraid. It doesn't matter what somebody next to you is thinking. It doesn't matter what the person to the right, to the left, to the back, in front of you is thinking. It's only what God thinks about you that matters. So those standing up, come to the altar. Just come here tonight. All right. Anybody else want to follow their lead here? All right. All right. All right. All right. Those standing up here tonight, repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sins. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. I've said and done some bad things. But tonight, I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. Rule and reign upon the throne of my heart. Jesus, I love you. Give me the strength to follow you all the days of my life. And when I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing you face to face. I love you, Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Welcome back to God's family. All right. For those who came forward tonight, there are certain spiritual disciplines you can practice in order to remain close to Christ. You got to get into the Word on a consistent basis. Remember, we talked about it. Getting into the Word of God daily. Just a few scriptures, read a few scriptures. You got to be praying to God on a consistent basis, communicating with God, bringing your requests to God, talking to God and having Him communicate back to you. You've got to find good, solid Christian friends. You got to be going to these church services and other church services. Amen? May God richly bless you. Jesus is the miracle worker, and He will always be the miracle worker. He can do a miracle in your life. May God richly bless you. You're dismissed. All right. God bless you.
Hold on. Come on.
I'm taking it.